I'm Keith Peters. The Supreme Court says states can require presidential electors to back their state's popular vote winner in the Electoral College. Correspondent Greg Clugston reports.
In a unanimous election year ruling, the justices ruled that states are allowed to remove presidential electors who break their commitment to support the designated candidates. Justices are leaving in place laws in 32 states and the District of Columbia that bind electors to vote for the popular vote winners. Most electors usually do so, but so-called faithless electors could alter a presidential race outcome if the contest comes down to just a few electoral votes. Greg Clugston, Washington.
Florida is once again closing down restaurants in the wake of renewed waves of the coronavirus. Dr. Anthony Fauci says the public health effort aimed at stopping the virus's spread is a pathway towards economic reopening.
We've already suffered through a lot of pain, a lot of economic and personal pain and inconvenience, but it will end. It will end because the public health efforts will succeed ultimately. And science will get us through this.
While Florida Governor Ron DeSantis says younger people with COVID-19 don't get as sick as the elderly.
If you're under 40 and you don't have significant comorbidities, you know, the fatality rate for this is pretty close to zero. So who is testing positive is just as important as how many people are testing positive.
Miami-Dade County now has more than 1,600 hospitalized coronavirus patients, double what it had 2 weeks ago. Of those, 331 are in intensive care and 168 are on ventilators, figures that have also doubled. Miami-Dade has been the state's hardest hit area, along with its South Florida neighbors, Broward and Palm Beach County. On Wall Street, the Dow up by 459 points. The Nasdaq rose 226. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Now streaming on SalemNow.com is the brand new film, Selfie Dad. Selfie Dad is a very funny yet powerful movie about a Christian dad in a midlife crisis who becomes an overnight social media phenomenon, only to turn away from God and his family. But when he's confronted with a newfound friendship and the life-changing truths of the Bible, he learns the only way to have true happiness.
Some of these things I just can't fix without some sort of direction. And I'm finding it right here in the Bible.
God can do incredible things.
Selfie Dad stars Christian comedians Michael Jr. and Shonda Pierce, as well as Grammy singer, YouTube star Jamie Grace, and War Room's Karen Abercrombie. It will inspire you to find the life-changing value of the Bible. Watch Selfie Dad at SalemNow.com and use promo code MOVIE to save 20%. That's SalemNow.com, promo code MOVIE.
What did I tell you? I told you we'd all get through the darkest hours of the COVID-19 pandemic together. And we did. We survived. Hey, Kevin Wall here. Throughout the governor's stay-at-home orders, Francois and all my friends at Ichabod's Lounge on East Flamingo at Pecos stayed open 24-7 to serve up the same amazing food that Vegas residents have come to expect the past 30 years. But now, Governor Sisolak says it's okay to get out of the house, to reconnect with old friends, to have fun. Best place to do that is at Ichabod's Lounge. They've completed extensive remodeling that will allow you to play on one of 15 machines while adhering to social distancing and mandated cleanliness. So at Ichabod's Lounge, you can still have fun and still stay safe. Ichabod's Lounge is back, featuring old-school Vegas atmosphere and one of the top gaming bars in Las Vegas. Ichabod's Lounge, open 24-7, vintage Vegas dining, gaming lounge, and piano bar on East Flamingo at Pecos. Have fun at Ichabod's Lounge.
It's 5:04. This is the KMCQ News Flash. I'm Jim Dallas. One of Las Vegas's most influential developers off the Strip has died. Family members say Irwin Mulaski passed away of natural causes on Saturday at his home. He was 93. Mulaski was one of Las Vegas's best-known developers. Beginning in the 1950s, Mulaski and his partners built the town's first privately owned hospital, the first enclosed shopping mall, downtown office tower, and master planned community. Mulaski was also closely linked to UNLV, where he donated land, which eventually became its main campus, and was the founding chairman of the school's fundraising wing. Governor Sisolak called Mulaski a great friend and an influential figure in the Las Vegas community. Firefighters were kept busy on the 4th of July, responding to 146 reports of fires. Fire officials say at least three homes were damaged, but nobody was hurt. Last year, firefighters dealt with 130 different blazes. The Silver State will remain in Phase 2 of the Roadmap to Recovery until the end of July. That's the latest directive from the governor. The number of coronavirus cases statewide stands at 22,418, 18,442 in Clark County. 543 people have died.
KMCQ on-time traffic is powered by Meineke Car Care Centers. Come in right now for a synthetic blend oil change for just $17.95, along with a free AC inspection.
We'll get that crash 215 southbound at Summerlin. Also, you'll touch the brakes there, 215 north at Fort Apache. Some heavy volumes there, 215 westbound at Valley Verde. And those lane restrictions continue. That is eastern at the 215.
Washington, D.C. It got a lot of evil there, but we're getting it out step by step. A lot of evil. A lot of bad people. A lot of bad people. A lot of fake media. Look at them. A lot of fake media. Listen up. NBC is perhaps worse than CNN, I have to tell you. And MSNBC is horrible.
Check it out.
It's 1999. I'm on Meet the Press, a show now headed by Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd. He's a sleeping son of a bitch, I'll tell you.
That sounds awfully harsh. Why can't you be a little more supportive?
Number one! Time is running out! Number two! Time is running out! Number three! Time is running out! Number four!
Oh, hang on! Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
So good to have you with us on this Monday edition on AM 670 KMCQ, our brand new home. We've been here just over a month and we're having so much fun. The good thing is that you get to operate right down the Las Vegas Strip, across the street from Mandalay Bay, and it's just incredible being able to work down on the Strip. I never thought I would say it, but it's so fun. Joining us now, I'm so happy to have him on. We don't have him on often enough. We need to get him on a regular basis. Howard Stutz, the executive editor of the CDC Gaming Reports, and joins us. Howard, first of all, thanks for joining us. Always good to have you with us.
Anytime. Happy to be here on a Monday.
I know we were during the news. Irwin Malaski just one of a couple of deaths over the weekend. Of people who had a profound effect on the Las Vegas Strip and Las Vegas in general. Can you talk a little bit about the losses this weekend?
Well, Irwin Malaski is more known for his not so much gaming really, but all the other businesses that he was involved with that he helped build. I mean, there's just like a list of them between the Nathan Allison Hospice and all the buildings, there's so many that he built Sunrise Hospital. So they're, you know, he's synonymous with building in Las Vegas in the 70s and 80s and beyond. And of course, Station Casino's shocking news on 4th of July announced that their president, Richard Haskins, died tragically in a watercraft accident on vacation in Michigan. And was technically the number two person for Red Rock Resort Station Casinos for, you know, last 25 years. He, you know, worked closely with the Fertitta family, been involved in all iterations of the company, you know, expansions and whatnot for that company, and it had a very tragic loss over the weekend. So, you know, they'll move forward with a new president at some point, but very, very shocking news to hear that. Very well respected in this industry.
Do we know what the line of succession is going to be?
No.
Okay.
They're very, you know, it's interesting. They're a company, Kevin, that is like not a lot of high level executives. I mean, it's for the Fertitta, you know, Frank Three is the CEO and chairman. Lorenzo's on the board, so you know it's a, you know, they have the controlling shares. Steve Cootey is their CFO. He's been around the gaming industry for a while. They're very, very tight knit company. So I'm not sure what that line of succession will end up being. We'll know more, you know, in the next few weeks or so.
I want to ask you about something that came down today. CDC Gaming Reports and Gambling Insider announcing a strategic content partnership. What does that mean in your industry?
Gambling Insider is very big in Europe, so it's going to. We have a lot of, you know, we try hard to include international news. So what it'll mean is we'll probably have a few more international news stories that are produced by Gambling Insider that we will have on our site. Subsequently, my commentaries and John L. Smith, Ken Adams, their commentaries will all, our commentaries will all run in Gambling Insider. So it's just kind of a train of resources.
I know that you and I have talked over the last couple of months about some of the changes, some of the consolidation that's going on in the gaming industry. Can you talk about what has gone down just in the last couple of weeks relative to gaming and ownership?
Well, the big one is the Caesars the Eldorado acquisition of Caesars Entertainment. Be in front of the Nevada gaming regulators on Wednesday. Then we'll go to Indiana casino regulators. The Federal Trade Commission signed off on the deal. A couple properties. I mean, the one property of note in Nevada, the old Caesars Tahoe, Mount Blue, it's now called Mount Blue Resort, that's going to be sold to a company called Twin River Holdings, Twin River Worldwide Holdings out of Rhode Island. They're a regional casino operator. They're going to acquire it to help the deal move forward. We're going to see, you know, Eldorado is going to be, it's strange. Eldorado is the acquiring company, but then they will become Caesars Entertainment at some point. That's with the merged companies, and they will be, the Eldorado team will be operating it out of Reno and be a very large regional gaming company, and we'll see what things shake out there. The big one for us in Vegas, Caesars has 8 properties on the Strip. They had a 9th, the Rio. That is, they're managing it, but they did sell the property last year and will leave as the manager probably by sometime this year. And we're going to see what if Eldorado, they've talked about selling 1 or 2 properties on the Strip of the Caesars properties that, you know, they don't feel like they need to operate 8 properties on the Strip. So we'll see what happens there and how what kind of changes happen with them.
Howard, will there be anything that gamblers, customers, that they'll notice about the new ownership?
Eldorado is a very well-respected, you know, very, you know, close-knit, tight, you know, very good operator out of Reno, and they've expanded greatly over the last. I mean, they were a company founded by the Carano family out of Reno, and they were just in Reno, and they expanded over since about 2013. They expanded across the country, so they're very good operators. They're very respected, and the CEO Tom Rieg is not well known, but he's very, you know, well known to the investment community. So that gives them some comfort. It'll be interesting to see what they end up doing with the Caesars properties. They obviously, the brand Caesars will always be there. The brand Harrah's will be there. William Hill Race and Sports Books, they're going to end up taking over those sports book operations. They have a big partnership with Eldorado. So that's the kind of changes we'll see.
Again, Howard Stutz joining us. He is the executive editor of CDC Gaming Reports. And I want to ask you about something I saw in your publication today, that IGT is launching bar top slot machines, both in California and here in Las Vegas. Can you talk a little bit about what's behind that?
Sure. Obviously here in Vegas, we're all familiar with, you know, the taverns, the tavern industry and the bar top slot machines. They're mainly video poker. They're starting to expand around the country. We're seeing this in states like Illinois, Montana, Pennsylvania, they're, you know, South Dakota, Louisiana, others that are looking at these type of the tavern type slot machines, 15 or a limited number of slot machines in bars and mainly embedded into bar tops. So IGT sees an opportunity to come up with a better product. They've always had their video poker machines in a lot of these bar tops. Now they've pretty much upgraded this video poker bar top machine, that it's you know, a little more technological advances, a little more, you know, a few more bells and whistles. They previewed it last year at the Global Gaming Expo. Now they've launched it. You can find them at the Golden Nugget downtown, I guess, and then some couple of tribal casinos in California. So that they just started rolling them out. So it's kind of a new innovation for IGT to get a little more into this bar top business.
And how will they be different? I'm a big tavern guy. How will it be different than what we see now with taverns?
More variety of games on it, cashless gaming. You know, we're going to see a little bit more of that, you know, that we see with the ticket in, ticket out that you see in regular slot machines. You'll see that in with the bar top machines. But they'll have a lot more variety of product. And it's a market that's getting to get competitive. Aristocrat Technologies, another big slot machine manufacturer, they're getting into the bar top business. So we're going to see a lot more of this, and that's what you'll get. You'll get a lot more variety and a lot more bells and whistles.
I want to ask you, Nobu is in the process of reopening, and I'm curious, how many resorts are still on the sidelines right now on the Las Vegas Strip?
Can't think of off the top of my head. There's at least three of the MGM properties are not open yet. Now, I think MGM held out the Park MGM on the thought that they would give that to the National Hockey League if we became one of the hub cities for the NHL playoffs. And that's apparently not going to happen. The hub cities are going to go to Canada. We've saw about less than half the Strip open starting on June 4th. And as we came up to the 4th of July weekend, we saw more, you know, a few more different properties open. Aria reopened and Mandalay Bay and Caesars reopened a couple properties here and there. I think now the question is, how many more are going to reopen since post July 4th? Are we going to just see a lull right now? Penn National did not reopen the Tropicana. They sold the Tropicana. They still operate it. They sold it to their real estate investment trust partner. And the question is going to be, GLPI, the REIT, the real estate investment trust, wants to sell it. So I think Penn's holding off reopening Tropicana. We're still seeing, you know, you're obviously not going to have, you don't have the shows yet. You don't have the entertainment. They're still out of a 50% capacity, so a 3,000 hotel room is only opening 1,500 rooms. So that's where it's really going to sit. And like, Mike, that's the thing I'm watching to see what else might reopen now over the next month if anything does reopen.
Yeah. More with Howard Stutz, the executive editor of the CDC Gaming Report. So what's going on down on the Strip? What is there out there that is going to impact your fun and games over the course of the next few months, maybe the next few years for all I know? Stick around. More to do as we continue on AM 670 KMZQ.
Unique blend of breaking news, interesting views, and informative interviews. The Jim Bohannon Show, weeknights from 7 to 10 on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
Hello, this is Jared Fisher. I'm a business owner, community thought leader, and a previous candidate for governor of Nevada. As the owner of Las Vegas Psychery and Escape Adventures, I know the importance of exercise and spending time in the outdoors. During the COVID-19 business shutdown, the Department of Homeland Security has categorized bicycle shops as essential businesses. We've been servicing a lot of bikes to help people get their two-wheeled transportation up and running. Many people who are losing their jobs are now using their bicycles for transportation. They don't have money for their car or their insurance, so they'll use a bike to get around. Our community is also using them as a way to get outdoors, stay in shape, and enjoy the fresh air. If you need help dusting off the cobwebs and getting on your bike, we're here to service you curbside from 9 to 5 daily. We're located at 10575 Discovery Drive at the exit ramp of Town Center and 215, as well as the Bonneville Transit Center downtown Las Vegas. Our phone number is 702-596-2953.
Let's face it, these are challenging times. Hey, Kevin Wall here for SRT Special Services. Since 2014, SRT Special Services has provided Southern Nevada businesses with executive protection, safe rooms, residential security, and more. Now, in the COVID-19 era, it's important to know who's coming into your place of business. Ask the pros at SRT Special Services about the Liberty AI with facial recognition and thermal scanning. The Liberty AI can let you know if the next customer through your front door is running a temperature, protecting your employees, your customers, and your corporate liability. Facial recognition and temperature scanning technology has been out there for years. Now, the security pros at SRT Special Services can offer the Liberty AI at a price that even small mom-and-pop businesses can afford. If your business deals with the general public, you need the Liberty AI from SRT Special Services. Call 702-221-1942. That's 702-221-1942. Call today.
You're listening to Live and Local with Kevin Wall on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
Amen. 5:20 on this Monday afternoon, taking you home. In fact, we'll take you right up to 6 o'clock on AM 670 KMZQ. Joining us, Howard Stutz, the executive editor of CDC Gaming Reports, and you mentioned Ken Adams' stuff that is absolutely really good and spot on. On the last word, they talked about this survey that is out, and it shows that we now have a more gaming-focused visitor coming to Las Vegas. Can you talk a little bit about
that's a great point. Let me real quick, yeah. You asked me which casinos were still closed. We were on the break. I grabbed my map and went through it. Planet Hollywood is not open yet. What's interesting is they opened Paris, but not Bally's. The Cromwell's not open. Let's see now. Let me go back down here. Tropicana, I said. Park MGM is not open. And Mirage is not open yet. So that's there's your and the Rio is not open. So there's your non-open properties for.
And
you.
do you fully expect everybody to reopen within the next 3 to 6 months?
I would hope so. It's going to depend on what happens with the virus. If we continue to go up, if there's more closures, they're not going to reopen. Unless we can go to that phase three, I think that we'll get more reopened when the phase three is available. But until that happens, I think we may end up just staying as it is. Now we may see a property here and there reopened by a company like MGM or Caesars that has the market for the rooms to get people in. So I think that's what they'll do. But back to your question about gaming being it's very interesting. It's a change now, right? It used to be, for the last few years, we've noticed that 65% or so of the revenues on the Strip came from non-gaming. The hotel rooms, the entertainment, the restaurants, the shopping. Now it's going back to a gaming driving the bus for our revenue resources, because we don't have all the hotel rooms open. We don't have all the we don't have entertainment at all yet. Very few lounges. So that's a real change that we'll see how quickly gaming can help drive some of this these revenues and back to the city.
And Howard, do we know when entertainment will come back? We obviously saw in the last couple of weeks, Cirque just filed for bankruptcy. But we see no evidence that we've got shows coming in, even in September.
Well, we can't have more than 50 people. It's still a limit on in capacity for social distancing. They can't fill these theaters right now. Cirque du Soleil was interesting, as you said. They filed Chapter 11 a week or so ago. They were having financial problems before the pandemic. They're out of Canada. They were having a lot of issues internally within the company. So in some sense, the pandemic just kind of push the bankruptcy along. We're not going to see Cirque du Soleil go away. It'll get purchased. There's the chance that their former founder, Guy Liberté, may buy it back. But right now, all the performers have been laid off. So, yeah, entertainment, it's just going to be a matter of, like I said, the phase three. We get back to that phase three, maybe we'll start seeing a few more shows coming back and get some entertainment back here.
And can you give us an insight as to what is phase three when it comes to entertainment and the Strip?
My understanding from phase three is just expanding, at least it's expanding the number of people you can have at a gathering. So rather than, right now we don't have big convention business because you can't have the big conventions with only 50 people. If you can get more people into a space and social distance it out or allowing that, I think that's what it's going to be. That's part of phase three. That from what I my understanding, it's also probably allowing the casinos to add more capacity in their on their floor, and more hotel rooms, add more people. I think that's what it boils down to.
I want to talk about the future, and you mentioned Phase 3 being so vitally important to the Strip and to these resorts. Do you see a time when there are going to be some resorts that say, you know, at 50% capacity, we just can't make it?
There may be. You saw Atlantic City reopened last week, and right before they reopened, the governor of New Jersey, because of their upticks, decided no indoor dining, no smoking in casinos, and no alcohol service. So MGM, which owns the Borgata in Atlantic City, which is the class property of Atlantic City, they halted the reopening. They didn't reopen the property last week. They're supposed to open today. They're not sure when they're going to reopen. We may see some ownership change here and there on the Strip. That may be what the big thing that we'll see what happens with some of these properties that may not reopen right away. They may hold back. Like I said, some of these companies, a big company like MGM, may hold back on some of their properties and just focus on their key resorts they have open. Same with Caesars. Venetian is reopened, but they're just two properties, and same with Wynn. But, you know, they're also, you know, dealing with all the issues, same issues here that they're dealing with in Macau, which is which still hasn't recovered, and they, you know, we're in July and there's still travel restrictions in Asia. So, we could see some change in ownership. This is not going to be a flip the light switch. I said this, gosh, way back when. I mean, this is going to be a slow process that we're going to be working our way through. You know, even after we have a vaccine, even after we see, you know, the pandemic eventually, you know, disappear, you know, at some point, or at least be subsided, become just another, you know, another disease of some sort, it just kind of slows down. We're still going to take some time to get our life back together here in Vegas.
Howard, in our final couple of minutes, I want to ask you about the Sisolak directive of last Friday, where he threatened that if people don't start masking up, that the compliance for casinos is something like 50%. And that if that doesn't improve, that he will take action. We don't know what that action will be. Do you worry that he might reverse course, in particular when it comes to gaming?
Well, I don't think he will. But at the same time, last week, the Gaming Control Board, they went out and they are monitoring all properties. And they announced on, like, Wednesday, I think it was, there were like 111 different violations that they found on licensees. They didn't say what. They didn't say who. They didn't say if it was big casinos or a tavern. They just said, we have 111 violations that we could bring up for disciplinary action. Now, it seemed like that was a shot across the brow by the Gaming Control Board to these casino operators, saying, you got masks are required. People have to wear them, both employees and customers. Caesars Entertainment today, there's a story this afternoon in the RJ, says that if employees don't wear masks, if they refuse, that's a fireable offense now. So that's what the casinos are really taking this serious right now. And the one of the Gaming Control Board members, told the Nevada Gaming Commission a week or so ago, we may be bringing cases of noncompliance up for disciplinary action. That could be a fine. It could go up to a license revocation or suspension. So that's what.
How would that work with a collective bargaining agreement?
They're talking about the licensees themselves.
Oh, okay.
Casino operators, the Gaming Control Board could do that. As far as mask wearing in terms of the collective bargaining, I don't know. But then again, the culinary has been the one that's been arguing for, you know, everybody to wear masks anyway. So I imagine all their employees are wearing masks, and it's, you know, I'm not sure where, you know, there are some employees that may not be, and that's what Caesars is pointing out right now.
Hey, Howard, always good to visit with you. Thanks so much, man. Love reading your stuff. If folks want to find out more about what you're up to, where do they go?
CDCGamingReports.com, our website, and follow me on Twitter at Howard Stutz, and I'm everywhere.
You are.
I can't do what I can.
You are.
It.
I just love it. I'm just glad you're with us. Thanks so much, man. Always good to talk to you.
Anytime, Kevin. Call me whenever.
Howard Stutz joining us, the executive editor, CDC Gaming Reports. And if you want to know what's going on in gaming, you know, if you're in the industry, you got to have this information. It's that good. Stick around. More to do as we continue. It is Monday. I get so geeked on Monday because we just like to, you know, get the week started on a positive note. Sometimes it's difficult. I mean, we had deaths over the weekend here in our community, and that's kind of sad. By the way.